down in the prayer should be in the house of the Lord
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
All that stuff you said about me, I just say it about you the same way. I love this man. This wife I met you years ago, and it's just been a blessing to me. I want to pray real quick. Father, we thank you for another opportunity.
Thank you, Jesus.
To be in your presence.
Amen, amen.
One more time. We're not here because of our goodness, because we're so great, because we've done everything right. Mm. It's simply because of your grace
Come on now.
And your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I can't help but to say thank you, Jesus.
Come on, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Everything in me says thank you, Jesus. It is you that blessed us. You kept us. You have watched over us. You're not a God of a second chance, but you're a God of another chance.
Amen, amen.
And we have to say thank you.
Amen.
Come open your mouth, say thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Thank you,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, we praise you, we give you the honor and glory. You are the only true and living God, and it is you who we worship. Lord, we worship you on today. We worship you today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, God, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth.
Amen.
Be acceptable to your sight. And let not my flesh Amen. Glory Amen. In your presence.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, one more time. Give God some praise. Love the Lord. He
Amen.
Is so good to
Amen.
Me.
Come on now. It's good.
Let's get right into the word. We won't waste any time. I want to talk about good success. How do we have good success? Now, I talk to a lot of people about success. Come back real quick, Tammy. What's good success to you? Come back. Stability.
A whole lot of money.
Peace. Okay. Majority of time, though, I get money. Money. If God would give me more money, I could do better. My problems would go away. My wife would start loving me better. Kids begin to act right. And so we seem to equate success with money. What I want to do today is show you success from a biblical perspective. How God looks at success.
Amen.
And the definition I want to use for success is how will you use what you have
yes.
to glorify God?
Come on now.
How well do you use what you have to glorify God?
Yeah.
Let me give you some examples. Because we see success throughout the Bible. Over and over and over we see success. And the amazing thing about success is it's not people who know a lot or have a lot
Come on.
That are successful.
Come on now. Come on now, Dave.
I love Jesus because when Jesus got ready to do his thing, he went to the hood. He looked for people like me.
Yeah.
He did. He had anywhere he could wow. He could have chose anywhere to be born Mommy, Daddy. On this whole planet. You see what he chose.
Right.
And why did he do that? He wanted us to understand that he can use anybody.
Come on now.
He can help anybody.
Amen.
And so when we look at success throughout the Bible, let me give you a few examples. In the book of Exodus 4, and these some scripts I didn't give you, so
okay.
I'm just going to throw out some real quick. But in the book of Exodus chapter 4, Moses was faced with Pharaoh and his army. And God had sent him to stand before him and say, let my people go. And he said to God, he said, now if I go to this Pharaoh, they're not going to believe you sent me. Okay? Because I don't use big words. I'm not well educated. So they're not going to believe that you send somebody like me to speak for you. And God said to him, he said, what do you have in your hand? He said, a stick, a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. Throw it on the ground, became a snake. He said, grab it by the tail and pick it back up and change back to a rod. What God was showing Moses that I can use whatever you have.
Wow. That's good.
And the problem, the way the enemy tricked us, is what Pastor was saying earlier. We feel that we have to get something, be somebody, go somewhere before God uses us. And it is ordinary people that uses.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, amen.
Because if you get too much up here, you don't depend on God. You depend on your education. You depend on your status. You depend on your money. And God can't use you. That's why you have to give it away. Give yourself away.
Come on, man. Come on.
Then the next line says, so God can
use you.
See, it's not who you are, what you have, or what you can do. Matter of fact, the less you are, the more God can do with you.
Come on, man.
Because you can't say anything, but it was God.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
You didn't have nothing to work with. You have no money. It's when I started my church about 14, 15 years ago, I told God, I said, well, I want a building, but I also want some rental property with it. So the tenants can support the church because I didn't want to be a burden to the people. I didn't want them to have to give, you know. But they needed to give because that's how their blessings flow. But then once I seen the building, I met with the guy, and we looked at it, we talked about it. I started church with nothing. I didn't have a chair. Started with nothing. And so I looked at the building, so the guy went through all what he wanted me to do. He said he wants so much money down, he started paying so much money, and he wanted all these things. And I listened to what he said. I didn't have a dime, so he didn't know that because I was dressed nice. You know, I washed my car for my bed. So he didn't know. So he got through talking. I said, okay, well, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And because I spoke to God first. So I told you what I'm going to do. I said, well, first of all, I'm not giving you anything down. So you can scratch that. The $4,000 you thought you could walk away with, you can scratch that. Second of all, I'm not giving you $700 a month. I'm giving you $400 a month. I said, oh, plus I'm not even start paying for 90 days. For the first 3 months, you're not getting nothing. Now, listen, don't do this if God didn't tell
you. Right, 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 right. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Because you're going to walk away with nothing. Yeah. So he paused for a minute. Changed a few shades of color. And then had me the keys.
Wow.
And so I didn't have anything. Didn't have anything. And I watched the power of God. He blessed me, blessed me, blessed me. Let me finish this. So one of the ways he used to stay, here's another thing he did. Let me give you a couple more examples. Jesus out preaching to over 5,000 men, plus some children and women. When he got through preaching, now y'all know we like to eat out of church. So the disciples peeked this out.
Come
said,
on.
Jesus, I almost finished. These folks don't want to eat. We don't have no food. It's getting dark. All these clothes at 9. Oh, we need to let these people leave. You know what?
Yeah.
We need to let these people leave. So they can get on to the store and send me some food. Jesus said, we not on road like that. I can't do these people like that.
Come on, man.
That's what it did. He said, what do you have?
Come on.
What do you have?
That's good.
Remember, success is how well you use what you have. I'm already preaching.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on now. He's almost
finished. He said, what do you have? I wonder if Sight Drive is smart. Okay. Tell you what. Got 2 fish, 5 pieces of bread. He said, oh, good. That's enough. Matter of fact, Jesus says more than enough.
Wow.
Because they all ate. The Bible said they was full. You know how you feel when you leave out of Golden Corral? That's how they felt.
Yeah.
You know how you do? You say, this is all you can eat. I paid this amount of money. I'm going to eat all I can eat. That's how they felt. And then the Bible said they had 12 baskets left over.
Wow.
See, it's how well you work with what God gives.
Come on now.
Doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah.
You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to be educated. You don't have all these degrees. It's just how well you work with what you have, where you are right now with God.
Come on now. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's good.
Next example. I'm going to look at Joshua. Next example. Matthew chapter 25 tells us a story where this master left. And he had 3 servants. And he gave them talents. He gave 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents. Thirdly, gave 1 talent. The Bible said that the first 2 took their talents and doubled them. The last one, because he felt he did not have much, decided to do absolutely nothing with his talent. Mm. He buried it. When the master come back, he gave me one. I'm going to present him with one. In other words, he's not going to do absolutely nothing with what God gave me. Mm. Come on, because you know we all think that way at times. Feel like that because I don't have as much as the next person.
Come on, man.
God is going to use this little bit that I have.
Come on now.
But you'd be surprised what God can do with a little.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They after working one day, the old guy come to me. He was homeless. He was dirty. He come to me and he said, you know, I need some money. I said, well, that's why I'm working, because I need some too. Yeah. And I wasn't trying to be funny with him. I didn't have any. As a matter of fact, if I had some, I would have gave it to him so he could leave me alone because I'm working. Mm. I said, I don't have it. I said, but you know what I do have is something from God. I said, God bless you. I said, God bless you. And he paused and he looked. And then a tear come out of his eye. Mm. He said, I know you don't have no money. He said, but that's what I needed to hear.
Wow.
He said, that's what he said, you know, I need God to bless me.
Yeah.
I needed God to bless me. That little bit I said.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what God can do if you open your mouth. He said, yeah. I will feel it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you don't have to depend on your intelligence to bless nobody because God said he would do it.
Yeah, come on, come on. That's good, that's good.
So the master come back. He said, all right, what did you do? He said, God, you gave me 5. I have 10. God said, you good and faithful servant. I don't know why I'm bringing my nose. I ain't looking at it. He said, you good and faithful servant. God, I'm just going to let him take me and we're going to get out of here.
Yeah,
good and faithful servant.
You good.
He said, you've been good over few, little.
Yeah.
I don't put your rule over much.
Ooh.
Ooh. See, if you don't act like you have no sense with a little bit, why would God give you more? I'm going to be cool because I want to come
you
back.
You good. Yeah, yeah.
Think about that. If I give my daughter $10, she gonna mess it up. I'm not gonna give her $20 next week. What did you do?
Keep it real.
I got gummy bears and chocolate for $10? No. And you know God has way more sense than we do.
Yeah.
The second say, okay, I gave you 2. What did you do with yours? He say, I doubled. I got 4. You good and faithful servant. Mm, mm. You was faithful over a little. I'm gonna put you over much.
Wow. A little.
Then when he said, what do you do? Nothing. I didn't want to mess up.
Ooh.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I don't want to mess up. I'm not going to do anything. Because if I don't do anything, I can't make a mistake.
Mm. Come on.
Yeah. He referred to that person as wicked
and
lazy.
Yeah.
Success has to do with how well you use what you have to glorify God.
Yeah, that's good.
How well you use what you have. I don't have but a little. Good. That's all God needs from you is that little. Give me another example. I'm at Home Depot getting some keys made. And I had to get back to the work site where I'm working. Young lady standing next to me, dressed what I would call inappropriate. Because if she fell, I don't think she could get back up. That's how tight her pants was. And she couldn't get back up. She had tats all over her, piercings everywhere. And this is what God spoke to me and said, you talk to this lady, you can witness to her. I said, God, you don't want to hear what I got to say. And plus, I'm in the area. I'm at Home Depot. God, I got time for, you know, church people, church stuff. Then look at her. Now watch this. God is real. Watch this. And I did it. And this was years ago, and I still feel bad about that. I did it. But I'm sure how good God is. God has a good sense of humor. Soon as I said no, this guy walks up in his suit, say, hi, I'm Pastor So-and-so. And God just laid on my heart to speak to you. And she said, you know what, I'm hurting. So she said, I'm new in this town. I'm looking for a church. I need somebody to flap there. And so I try to take a step back. I say, boy, you better not say a word. I'm going to jump in this conversation. I'm going to lay some Harry Jesus on. He said, boy, you better not move. And I stood there. And today, that still bothers me because I would not speak to this young lady. It's a little that God used to get much done. And we got to get out of this vein, this mind frame that we have to have a lot. We have to have some, know the Bible and all these scriptures to go talk to somebody. The best way is to witness to someone is to tell them what God has already done
for
you.
Come on,
you
got
to make them know
make
stuff.
Plan,
you don't have
plan.
To know what Paul said. You don't have to know all the steps of leading someone to Christ. Just simply say, this is what God did. I was no good. I was a crackhead. I was out in the streets. I used to do this. God changed me. Now, I don't know all that Bible stuff, but I know what he did for me.
Come on, man. Come on. Bring it home. Bring it home. Bring it home.
That's what a blind man did. He went to he was about 40 years old. He received his sight. The Pharisees did not want to give Jesus credit. He said, what? He said, look, I don't know who this Jesus is. All I know,
come on,
I was blind, but now I see. Now, what he did or who he is, I don't know, but I can see.
Yeah. That's good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's many, many more examples. He uses what you have. He uses what you have. You don't go need to look for anything.
Woo, that's good.
He uses what you have. God made you. He gave you your thoughts, your emotion, the way you act. He knows you don't like beans and pork chop. God knows what you like and what you. He made you that way because he wanted to use you.
Woo,
yes. I get in a lot of conversation with people because I hate beans. But that's a way for me to conversate with them, and then we start talking about God.
Come on, man.
I was in the store late, like, baby, have me the black eyed peas. I cook some every year. You cook them too, no, I don't like beans. What, you don't like beans? I said, no, I don't like beans. I like Jesus. Can I tell you about Jesus? Now, Jesus maybe like beans, but I don't like beans. But guess what? That won't keep you from heaven.
Right.
That's good. Hey, that's good right.
So God has moved. He's moved when we trust him.
Yeah.
When you come to God, say, God, I don't have much. This is me. And it's crazy to hide from him or try to pretend. Tell God, you all this, you're still here. I know you. Come on, man. That's what something wrong you lay on some girl or something. You don't pull that on God. I'm in the bathroom flexing on. God know all about you. He know you tripped last night. He knew
ooh,
that.
Come on, man.
Come on with it, man.
But God is moved when we trust him.
Yes.
When we don't have much, when we depend on him, when we look to him, when we call him Father.
Yes.
He's a good Father.
Yes.
He's a good Father. And so when we trust in him, it moves him. And there's sometimes we get caught up in the things that we don't have because we're looking around and we get caught up in the things we don't have and we forget who God is. And this is the problem Joshua had. Joshua chapter 1. I have a few verses and I'm done. Joshua chapter 1, and actually I need verse 2, but I did not get it.
Okay.
But just hold that up there. Right. I'm going to work my way to that.
You need a little bit.
Yeah, give me about 10 minutes.
Oh, you good, bro.
Joshua had forgot about God because he was focusing on his problem. Verse 2 talks about Moses had died. God had to have a talk with him because Moses had died and Joshua was feeling a loss. What I'm going to do now? Moses is gone. Our leader is gone. He took us through the Red Sea. He took us through the wilderness. We depended on him so much. Now he's gone. What am I going to do? Because there's a loss in me. What am I going to do? And he spent too much time worrying about what he lost.
Come on.
What's gone? But he can't get back. Now, I know you all have never experienced anything like that, but there are people in church still tripping off something they lost.
Come on.
And I'm going to paraphrase this. He said, boy, Moses is dead. Look at him. You get time. Look it up. He said, boy, Moses is dead. It is time for you to man up. It's time for you to step up. It's time for you to come out of the back and take your role in the front so God can do what he needs to do in your life. Some of y'all need to know Moses is dead.
Come on,
Yeah.
Boy, gone. Let him go. It wasn't no good anyway. If he gone, let him go. Let the girl go. She's gone. That's plain enough. I'm sure. But watch what he said to him. He said to him, he said, Dr. Tommy said, look, he's gone. He's not here anymore. Get up and go. That's exactly what he said. He said, Moses dead. Get up and go. He's dead. Get up and go.
Wow.
See, I don't know if God like playing with us, but he told Abraham, he said, get away from your family and go. And when you get there, I tell you.
Get where?
He said, boy, get your stuff and go. Mm. Go that way.
Yeah.
And keep going that way. And when you get there, you're right, I say stop. What do that do? That means we have to trust God.
Wow.
We have to trust God.
Yes.
He had two things. He had to trust God. He had to convince his wife.
Oh, baby. You know me and God cool. You know, I talk to him a lot.
He said, we got to leave this big screen TV. We got to leave this cable. We got to head out to the desert where there's nothing. How well do you use what God has given you to please him? But watch what God said. So he says to him, I need verse 5, great. So he says to him, you got to get up, you got to go. Moses is gone, it's time for you to move on. Yeah. Look at somebody, say, it's time for you to move on.
It's time for you to move on.
If they don't believe you, tell them again.
It's time for you to move on.
Now look at verse 5 we have up here. I want to give you 3 keys to success, to good success. I'll give you 3 keys. Look at verse 5, he says here. And I read this, I had to stop. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. This is a very important part. Now this is God talking. Whenever God speaks, you need to listen. Whenever God asks you a question, please understand he's not asking you a question for information. God need not information from you and from me. He's not asking for information. But watch this. He says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I could go no further, because I had to figure out, okay, how were you with Moses? Because if I'm Joshua, I need to understand how that's going to affect me. How were you with Moses?
Amen.
I asked God. I don't know if you all talk to God. I asked God. I don't go to God pretending I know everything. Because he will show you up in front of your wife. He said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. How was he with Moses? I have to go back and look at that. As he led Moses, this is what he did. Moses said, God, Moses was smart. He figured out something about God. And I hope y'all get this before we leave today. Okay. Moses said, God, you know what? I realized that when I'm with you, good things happen. When I'm not with you, things don't seem to go my way.
Come on.
I knew this scriptural, but I had to find out personally. There was a time that I walked away from God. And this is no lie. I went through 10 cars in less than a year.
Ooh.
10 cars.
That's a lot.
I was was managing McDonald's. I was salaried. I was just back in the 80s. I was bringing home a little over 1,000 every 2 weeks. My wife was doing real good. Had money everywhere. I said, God, I'm going to put you on the shelf right now because I think I got this. y'all can see what this door is. Back car. Wife driving down the highway on the way to work, the motor literally fell out.
Ooh, dang.
On 70, it actually fell out. We didn't have this car a month. Go get another car. The payment was due on the 1st. It was the 7th. I got paid on the 8th. So I'm going to make the payment. I look out there, a tow truck is taking my car. I called and said, man, I'm only 7 days. I'm not a full week. I'm not even a month behind. He said, oh, the back of the contract is real small. I didn't tell you 3 days late we can pull your car.
That's wow. Crazy.
Okay. Go buy another car. Come home, drop my wife off, get some groceries, take in the house. I look out the window because I smell something. It's on fire. And they have an axe trying to bust open the hood so they can spray it out. I said, well, God, I have bad luck with cars. Let me get a van. Looked like it was a nice van. Had a sink in it, had a cabinet on the wall, had a refrigerator in it. It was real nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. This I had about 2 months. And I let my brother use it. He wanted it on the east side. There's nothing good on the east side. But anyway, he wanted to go on the east side. He calls me at about 2 a.m. Said the van won't start. What do you mean it won't start? Something happened to it. It won't start. I go down there and stop by the arch somewhere and park it. And he got a ride home. Looks under there. The motor is sideways. Half of us hanging down. I said, God, I think you're trying to talk to me. I think you want my attention. And so immediately, through cars, God showed me that I wasn't nothing without him. Nothing. And the bank account don't make you. He showed that was nothing without him. Moses realized that, and he said, Moses said, God, listen, I'm not going anywhere if you're not going with me.
Come on now. Wow. Come on.
So the first key is having the presence of God with you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Bible said that God followed them, or God led them, with a cloud in the day. And they followed the cloud. Get this. God did not follow Moses. Yes. Moses
followed
the He led them by day by a pillar of cloud, and then by night it was a pillar of fire. And God led them. He said, God, I'm not going anywhere that you're not going. So wherever you go, that's where I'm going. And God, when you stop, I'm going to stop. When you say go, I'm going to go.
Yes, yes.
He needed the presence of the Lord with him. The first key to being successful is you need God's presence. But here's the thing about it. His presence is everywhere. Which means you can be successful.
Come on.
Everywhere you go.
Bring it on home. It's good. That's, you good, bro. You good. Dirty mo.
The presence. You need God's presence.
Yes.
He said, so like I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. He said, I will be with you, and I will not leave you or forsake you.
Wow.
Best friends leave, family leave, jobs leave, children leave, come back with babies, then they leave. But he said, I want to say, so we need key number one. We need the presence of God. But let me share something with you about the presence of God. Because we can misinterpret the presence of God. If you've seen it, I've seen it, we've seen people who felt the presence. Because the Bible said, was two or three are gathered, his presence is there. When two or three are gathered, he said, I would be in the midst. His presence is there. And we can misinterpret the presence. There are some who can. Ain't nothing wrong. but they feel something and misinterpret that as the presence of the Lord. And then find out they can't stop shacking, they can't stop smoking, they can't stop stealing, they can't stop. And the devil say, you left her, you thought you had something, but that stuff ain't real, because you find yourself doing the same thing because you were just in the presence.
Come on with it. Yeah.
So although we need his presence, we need to understand what it is to have the presence of God. We need to know what God will is, what God wants from
you.
He's not going to be in our presence just to make us look good, just to make us shine. So we can walk our head all up like this.
You good.
But we can misinterpret it. And people who do not understand the presence of God can find themselves worse off than they was before. Because you have to understand the presence. And God knew this. Look what he said in verse 5. Look what he said. He said to him, thank you. He said to him, only be. You see the options? Only be.
Wow.
Only be strong in the Lord. Let me give you a second key. I got to move on. Let me give you a second key. But let me finish reading this, and then I'm going to go to 8.
Okay.
Only be strong. Very courageous.
Yes.
Very courageous. When you understand who God is, you can be very courageous. That's when I met with this company about that building. I was very courageous.
Yes, yes.
I let him talk. I let him say what he had to say.
Come on now.
I let him say. But I was very courageous because I told him what God told me to say.
Yes.
And he don't even understand. I talked to him years later. He don't even understand. I don't even know why I did. He said it didn't make sense. I said it was God. He's not a Christian. He said, I don't know what God said. No, it was God.
Yeah.
You can do all it. It was God.
Yeah.
Be very, very courageous. I'm going to observe the law. Go to 8 for me real quick.
Okay.
I'm going to finish with 8. I'm going to find the second and third keys in verse 8. The second key is this. He said, you need to meditate, observe my law. Meditate on it day and night. The law should not depart from your mouth. You need to meditate on this thing day and night. Now, when I read that, I thought about some chewing gum. Now, don't think I'm crazy. First of all, God is not saying that you sit in the corner with your legs crossed and read his word 24 hours a day. First of all, you're going to lose your home, your job, and then your children will go somewhere else to eat.
Make a play.
They know where they can find some food. So that's not what God is saying. I just drove a friend of mine, his son was 27, he was killed down in Houston, so I drove down, it was a 14-hour drive. And when I drive a long trip, I chew gum. Put a piece of gum in my mouth. Let me tie this together. I put a piece of gum in my mouth, and I chew on it. The gum is sweet, it's flavorful, I like the texture of it, and I chew on it. The chewing of the gum helps me to get through this 14 hours. It takes my mind off the sign saying, you got 800 more miles to go. Next sign, you have 799 more miles to go. But when I'm chewing that gum, I'm focusing on how well it takes, and it takes my mind off what I'm doing. But what I do, I chew on it for a couple of hours. And when God said meditate, it means in the morning, get a piece of that word, read the scripture, they just chew on it through the day. Just chew on it.
Yeah.
What I do, God, this is what I'm reading. So what I need you to do is open my understanding as I read this scripture. And then I need you to reveal to me what you want me to gather out of this passage of scripture.
Right.
This is how I talk to God. And throughout the day, lunchtime, grab another piece of scripture and read on that. And just chew on it. Chew on it. And at the night, just finish it up. Get you another piece. And just chew on it. Chew on it and go to sleep.
Yeah. That's good.
Because what you do before you go to sleep can affect you while you sleep.
Right.
Me and my daughter the other day was watching Samuel Jackson, he was a murderer. He was going around killing people because somebody killed his family. He was going around killing people. And so my daughter, we watched him, and she went to bed, I went to bed, and we got up. She called us, I had a dream. Samuel Jackson was trying to kill me. I said, baby, before you go to sleep, let's watch some church movies. Something before you go to sleep. Because it can affect you. Meditate on it day and night. Here's the second key. Not only do you need the presence of the Lord, but you need his word. Because his word will help you to rightly understand what the presence of God is want to do in your life. Yeah. You don't need just his presence, but you need his word to understand his presence.
Yeah.
You need his word because his word will teach you, the Bible said, that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your mind. It comes to you to teach you all things, and then it will bring those things that you need. So when God said, open your mouth, whether you're in Home Depot or back at Job Corps, when God said, open your mouth, open it because he will bring words to your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Something that you read and chewed on and meditate on. You have to give God something to work with.
That's good.
You can't never get in the word and never study and never hear it and then think God's going to use you in a profound way. You need to meditate on his word day and night. So to have good success, you need the presence of God, but then you need his word to understand who God is.
Bring it down.
I would not hire you to represent my company if you don't know anything about it.
Come on now.
I'm finna spend all this money, first class, put you in a nice hotel, you going to this conference to represent my company. Set you all up, you got flyers and everything. So what do your company do? No, I went for the ride. But see, we laugh, but this is how we do God. Tell me about God. Tell me about God ain't real. Tell me about God. My pastor say he real. Pastor Wendell say he real. But if you're meditating on his law, reading his word, don't let it depart from you. Observe it. Learn it. I tell you what. You'll have some good success.
Amen.
This is 13. I'm going to wrap this thing up. I'm going to wrap it up. This is 13. Same. Better tell me day and night. That you may observe it. Let me paraphrase. And do it. The purpose of reading his word and meditating on his word and chewing his word and digesting his word is that you can do it. Because I know people who know this Bible from front to back.
Come on now. Come
but
on.
Don't live it.
Yeah. I know.
What good is it to know this and not use it? He said you meditate on this thing day and night. Get it in there. Understand it. Work it into you. Get it in your heart. And let it move you. Let it groove you. Just get it all down in you. He said, if you do this, and you meditate on this thing, get it in you, then you have to do what it says. Kids was little one time, brought him a bike for Christmas. He came with a piece of paper that had instructions on it. I threw it out the way. I'm going to put a bike together. I don't even get to finish this story. When you get to the end and there's 8 pieces left, something's wrong. But what's this for, Daddy? Girl, you don't need this extra part. I had to wait till she go to sleep, get the instructions, read it, and then I had to take off a whole lot of stuff to put the piece on I should have did at first.
Right.
Because I didn't take time to read the instruction on how to do it. When we read his word, it saves you a lot of time
in
trouble.
Yes.
First key is we need his presence. Number two, we need his word to rightly interpret his presence. What it is God wants to do in your life. God, how do you want to lead me? Where do you want to take me? Because his presence leads you. It inspires you. It gives you insight. Every time the Israelites look up and saw God there, they're like, yep, God's with us. God is with us. When they turn, God's taking us in another direction. When there was protection, when there was trouble, God was their protection. When they went to war, they saw God was there. They was ready to fight because they knew long as I was in the presence of God, everything's going to be all right. You need his presence. You need his word. Third key is you have to do what his word says.
Yeah.
You have to do what his word says. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to close my Bible and put my notes up. Yeah, I'm a preacher, so I can go on. But I won't. You have to be obedient. You have to do what his word says. How do I do what his word says? Well, you can do it because you have the presence of God.
Yes.
He said, I will put my spirit in you.
Yes.
Listen to this. Listen. He said, I will put my spirit in you. Moses and them had to follow a cloud and a pillar of fire. But God said, I will put my spirit in you. It's different by having something with you and something in you.
Yes.
It comes along beside you to help you. If I'm in a situation that I cannot control, I say, God, you promised me in your word that you will help me. You told me that you would never forsake me, that you would never leave me. And I promise you, when you talk God's word back to him, come on, y'all, so I can get finished. When you talk God's word back to him, open the Bible up. God, you said in John 3:16 that you loved this world, that you gave your son for me. And if I believe, that's the language God understands. You talk his language back to him. I went to the Chinese one time, and I think it's my daughter. That's why I can't hang out with her too much. I was at the Chinese one time, and it was time for me to get some rice. And I said, can I help you? And I said, Coco, what do you mean? Get down.
You still like me?
Okay. I was playing. John looked at me like, what you say? I said, I'm here. I have what a pork fat rice with onions. No, that's what I would try to say. He didn't understand that language. He didn't understand that language. And God's the same way. He wants us to speak his language. And his language tells us to only be successful and prosper. Here's the last point. He said, if you do those three things, have his presence, meditate his word, and I'm finished. Meditate his word. Do what it say. Then you will. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I said, God, that's it. He said, you do those things. Look at verse 8. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Then. God is a God of if you do, I do. And if you won't, I won't. God said, if you will, if you do this, you will have great success. You want to be successful in what you do? Get your education. That's very important. But as you know, in this society, in this economy, having a degree is not all that effective now. But this is fail-proof. This is fail-proof. Do your best. Get educated. Get all the degrees you can get. But only what you do for Christ will last. Wow. Only what you do for Christ will last. Not through this life, but on into eternity, what you do for Christ. Yeah. You want to be successful in what you do? Whatever, and this is what I love about this, because it don't have nothing to do with your age. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are with God. If you're lacking one of those three things, because it takes them all. You can't just know his word and not want his presence. You can't have his presence but not know his word. It takes all three. Can I pray real quick? I'm going to pray with you real quick. Perhaps you might not have all three of those things. By show of hand, who wants to be successful? Of course. I'm going to pray with you real quick. And it do not take long. I just want to pray with you real quick. If you want success and you realize that you're lacking one of these three things in your life, I want to pray for you real quick. And the reason why I'm spending a lot of time at the altar, I don't think it's necessary, because when people want something, they want it. That a key company opened up, people's out there 3 days before it opened. Black Friday, people get out there 3 and 4 days before it opens. Because when you really want something, don't nobody have to beg you.
Yeah.
Don't nobody have to entice you. Don't nobody have to pump you. Don't nobody have to prime you. Listen, if I was God, I don't want nobody coming. Let's talk about me. When way back when I was dating, I've been married 28 years. Who said so? All right, let's give you a little of my age. All right, I'm in my 50s. All right, I'm in my 50s. Somebody's going to say, you don't look like it. But way back when I was dating, I didn't want a girl. She didn't want me. I had to do this for you, convince you that you like me.
Yeah, love. Come on, man.
I had one word for them. Next.
Right.
I was not there before Jesus and all that. But God feels the same way.
Yes.
You got to, you come to him because he said, come up because I said, come up here. But the indication to God that you really, really need him is that when you come up here, you're showing God, I need you in my life. And I don't have those three things. Perhaps I do have those three things, but I'm not doing it like your word say you do. Real quickly, if you're one of those persons that you need me to pray for you, that you get your life the way God is looking for it to be, just stand up. Just stand up where you are. Because by you standing up, you're saying to God that I trust that you can do for me what you said that you can do. Amen. You can't do it on your own.
Come on now.
Yes. You cannot do it on your own. I'm going to pray with you real quick. You can't do it on your own. The fact that God had to give his son and he had to die the way he did shows us that we can't do it. Because I know everybody here who have children, love their children, will not sacrifice your children if it'll save the world. That's something I have to think about. Let's say your child got some rare disease. We have the cure to AIDS, but we have to take all the blood out and your child going to die. But it'll save AIDS. We're going to talk about that. But Jesus gave his son. He didn't care that it was going to cost his life. And so he wouldn't take his son through that just so you can have half that you can almost live saved, that you can almost wait, that you can go from struggle to struggle. The Bible said God wants to take you from glory to glory.
Yes.
Glory. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be praying for you. If you believe God bless you, believe God did what he said he would do, I want you to signify that by the clapping of your hands. If you don't think God did it, if you don't think God can keep his word, then Pastor Wendy's going to work with you.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father. Just listen right now. Just listen. Father, I come before you, as I said, don't walk my flesh to glory in your presence, because it's you, it's your presence. Because you said where your presence is, there's liberty, there's freedom.
Yes. Yes.
And so God, I expect, based on your word, that people will be set free today. This is what I'm expecting from you, because this is what you said. This is what you promised us. But on the other side, God, because they believe that you are who you say you are, they took a faith to rise on their feet to indicate to you, God, that I trust that you will move in my life and do what is necessary, because I need your presence, I need to meditate on your word. And then, God, I need your power so that I can do it. So, Father, as we stand right now, and as your presence fills this place, speak to the heart of everyone that is standing on their feet right now. You know exactly what they need, where they are in their life, what step they need right now, God. And I pray that you let your power fall down in their heart and that you take Satan and move him back long enough for them to see that you are God and you are God alone. And God, I thank you because you have never failed on your word. Touch everyone that's standing right now in the name of Jesus. God, reveal yourself to them in a way that you've never done before. Open their eyes right now. Illuminate their heart with your word today, God. And God, make it clear what you need in their lives and where you're going to take them. Is it great success that they're seeking in God as they follow these steps? Prove to them that you are the God who you said. So God, I pray now that you challenge them. That you challenge them, that you put them in positions where they need to speak your word, where they need to stand up for you, where they need to do what is right. God, you challenge them, but God, give them victory right now. And we're not waiting till we see victory, but we're claiming victory right now in Jesus' name. So God, as they stand, I pray that your presence enter into their heart right now. But God, make their heart right. Forgive them of their sins. Forgive us all of our sins right now. Come into our heart on today, Lord, and you fix what's wrong.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, say that. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And I believe you
will do
just what you said.
Just what
your word said.
I accept it.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, give God some praise. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him.
Amen. Amen. Come on, man.
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus. That's how that's. I love that brother because he makes it simple and plain. Put it in your heart.